What I didn't know back then, and what many OR folks don't know today, is what goes on in a sterile processing department. So I'm really passionate about bringing the groups together and helping them understand, and in particular, the surgeons. The surgeons do not know what we do in our department. And I think it's really, really important that we keep reaching out and communicating with each other. We do a lot of tours of our department.
From the basement to the boardroom, from ideas to innovation, you are listening to the Beyond Clean podcast, the central nexus for the people, processes, and products that are pushing the sterile processing industry forward. Each week, you will encounter diverse perspectives from subject matter experts across the country and around the globe. Frontline technicians, CEOs, engineers, and entrepreneurs, with a common goal to help you fight dirty every instrument, every time. Whether you are tuning in for education or inspiration, we are glad you are here. Now, turn on those washers and turn up the volume. It's time to go Beyond Clean.
This week on Beyond Clean, we speak with Lori Ferrer. Lori serves as the Director of Systems Central Sterile Services Department at M Health Fairview in Minneapolis, Minnesota, which currently serves 8 of the M Health Fairview hospitals, ambulatory centers, and serves multiple Fairview and University of Minnesota physician clinics and ancillary areas. Lori's healthcare career span is over 4 decades as a surgical technologist, case cart specialist and OR liaison, OR supply coordinator, CSSD supervisor, manager and director, educator, and she's an international speaker, and everybody is in for a treat as episode 1 of season 9 kicks off talking about Department of the Year, which Lori's department recently won. And also, we'll talk about excellence in standardization that's tied into all of that. I think you'll find this to be a very inspirational episode. And Mike, Lori is a good friend of the show. I'm glad she's finally coming on.
Absolutely. And what a tremendous honor to win the HPN Department of the Year. I don't think many people realize, unless they've gone through the process of trying to apply for that award, how difficult it is. There's so much in the application process. There's questions, there's interviews, there's tons of paperwork, and there's a lot of competition. So in order to get to that final award, you have to really be able to accomplish something really special. And so this is a real honor to be able to talk to somebody who has done this.
HealthMark has intelligent solutions for your cleaning verification program, including products to measure water temperature, water quality, cleaning efficacy, and directly test for residual soil left on instruments. Find your tools for cleaning verification at hmark.com. There you will learn about our TOSI and SonoCheck that test the performance of mechanical washers as recommended in sterilization standards guidelines. Other products like CartWash Check test for mechanical efficiency and target temperature. The ProCheck 2 can detect residual protein to a very low level. Go to hmark.com today for all of your cleaning verification testing needs. It's 2023 and there's big news for IST. A closed warning letter, a new product launch, and a 10-year anniversary. OneTray IST has a lot to celebrate this year. OneTray's 2006 cleared 48-hour storage claim was acknowledged by the FDA, and the company is pushing forward, offering the total solution for reprocessing. OneTray maximizes reprocessing time. EasyTrax adds flexibility with instrument organization, and their upcoming product, OneCart, a sealed case cart with a smaller footprint and a perfect option for offsite sterilization, completes the total solution. Experience a year of efficiency with OneTray. For more information on the closure of the warning letter, visit OneTray.com/FDA warning letter. That's OneTray.com/FDA warning letter.
Otherwise, you can reach out to the company by calling 937-619-0138 or visit onetray.com/contact.
You're listening to Beyond Clean, the global voice of sterile processing.
Joining us now is Lori Ferrer, Director of Systems Central Sterile Services Department at MHealth Fairview. And we've got a great show for you to kick off season 9. We're so excited to have you, Lori, especially because we can't wait to talk to you also about the application process and the award of Department of the Year, which is just a fantastic recognition of your hard work. So thank you so much for coming on to help us kick off this season and share your insights today.
Thanks, Justin. I want to thank you for the honor and the opportunity to be invited as a guest on Beyond Clean, and thank my team for the opportunity to be able to apply for the Department of the Year Award. And it was all their hard work that went into it that helped us win the award.
Well, I'm sure there's a great deal of experience on your team, but even as we introduced you for this episode, also, you have a great deal of experience and from a variety of perspectives. And so winding through all of that professional experience, what led you to ultimately become the leader that you are at MHealth Fairview?
It's kind of an interesting transition. Our Isham chapters from the Western Wisconsin chapter in Wisconsin and the Minnesota chapter decided to have a joint board meeting. So we met on the border in Hudson, Wisconsin, and we met each other for the first time. It was interesting because the gentleman that was there as the acting president-elect for the Minnesota chapter had resigned from his job and was planning to move in the next couple of months. And after meeting him and talking with him for a while, he said, "Why don't you come and apply for my position as manager of the system CSSD for MHealth?" So I took him up on his offer, and that's where it all started.
So, Lori, one of the things that's kind of unique about this particular sterile processing facility is that it is a centralized processing facility for a number of facilities. So can you kind of describe for us, even though I know this was initiated before your time as management, but can you kind of talk to us about what the thought process was about moving into that centralized format?
So essentially, back in the late 80s, early 90s, there were a couple of the hospitals in the system that had already been, one hospital was doing all the sterilization for the other hospital. So my former director at the time thought it would be a great idea to look at the pros and the cons and analyze whether it'd be cost effective to do a centralized model for all the hospitals within the system. So he worked with some consultants and they came up with a plan. And in 1994, they were able to open a centralized area in one of the hospitals that was centrally located to all the participating hospitals. They found that with going through the process that they would save money on instrumentation by standardizing sets, which took numerous hours to complete. Then the equipment piece where the large equipment in quantity would be centralized to an area, helping save the sites money as well.
So from your perspective then, as being somebody who perhaps hadn't ever been in a centralized processing facility, how is it different from a sterile processing department that is located in a hospital?
In a hospital, you've got greater access to your ORs, of course. So when you're centralized, you lose some of that. We make a point of making sure to round with the sites. Coming from the smaller hospitals in Wisconsin where I had worked previously, you know, you always had the connection to the OR directly. And it really is something that you have to work on, those relationships, working with the ORs when they're out at various sites.
So how many different facilities do you service?
Currently, MHealth Fairview System CSSD services 6 hospital sites and 2 ambulatory care centers, as well as 60 clinics that we currently have. And we're looking to bring on 50 more clinics over the next year or so. Also, we have many of the ancillary departments that we all also do centralized instrumentation for, and we dispense it through our supply departments.
That's really interesting. So we've talked to Don Williams in the past about a similar model and managing specifically clinic instrumentation. And it sounds like you're in the process of incorporating even more of those, I guess, non-acute settings into the reprocessing. What is that like from a communication standpoint?
It's rather challenging sometimes, especially in a big system like we're in. The numerous contacts that you have, I try to keep my contact list specifically with the ORs and all the sterile processing folks updated on a regular basis. And then you've got all the clinics and the ancillary departments. So we heavily rely on those folks at the sites to help us make those connections with those individuals. And now that we're going out into the community to all the clinic sites that are out in the community, it's a whole new way of trying to manage our work, from figuring out the types of instruments that they're going to have coming to us, as well as the transportation of the instruments to and from those sites.
Yeah, the scale is totally on a different level. I know some SPD managers and directors that might be taking care of some of those clinic and ancillary site instrumentation in the hospital, but this is a whole different ball of wax in terms of the size. And even the attempts at standardizing with those areas and getting those patterns, how much does preference come in to the equation? Like, we know it's a huge deal in the OR setting. Is it as big of a deal in those outlying clinics and settings as well?
I feel that, you know, most of the instrumentation is pretty standardized for most of the types of procedures that are being done in the clinics. So we really don't get any feedback that we need to make things different or change things in specific settings for specific people. So it's been working really well. And centralizing all of the clinic instrumentation helps bring it to the experts that know how to handle the instrumentation, instead of individuals that can make better use of their time if they're being able to serve the patients.
Okay, so your department reports to supply chain, and we've talked about this on so many previous interviews about how sterile processing will flip oftentimes back and forth between supply chain and then surgical services or the operating room and back and forth. It makes so much sense in this model with a centralized plan that would be more part of supply chain or supply and distribution. But how does that impact the decision making that's going on for your department and at MHealth Fairview as a whole?
I've reported both to the OR and to supply chain throughout the 4 decades that I've been in healthcare. I've had really good relationships with both groups. Having worked in the OR and in sterile processing has given me a well-rounded perspective in the operations of both areas. It's been very beneficial and rewarding to be reporting to supply chain currently. My boss in supply chain, she shares with everyone that she has her honorary sterile processing degree and is very passionate about the importance of our work. So she's always got my back. So as well as reporting to supply chain, we have the support of the ORs in moving our technology forward and purchasing the equipment. So it's kind of a relationship that we all share together that's not totally dependent on a reporting structure. We have also groups that consist of sterile processing and OR leaders that we meet on a monthly basis from our 9 hospitals and our 2 ambulatory surgery centers. We jointly work on competencies, policies, standard work practices. So it just goes beyond who you report to. It's working collaboratively together to get the results that we need to form our best practices.
Lori, I want to pick up on something that Justin had mentioned, and that was brought up in the HPN article as well, regarding the standardization of those instrument sets. I know Justin asked about the clinics, but I would really like to know about the standardization of the sets for the OR, because I know from the article that you guys are processing over like 3 million instruments per year. I mean, that's a lot of instruments. They're going to a lot of different places. And so I would think that, you know, the standardization process was difficult. So walk me through what establishing that process was like.
So it had been several years since many of the trays had been looked at, and we knew it was time. We had various requests that were coming from the different specialty areas of surgery stating that they'd like updates to their sets. So we pulled a group together, and we had representatives from each of the hospital sites, the surge techs that stood beside the surgeons that had been working there with those surgeons for many years, and people in education, then some other folks that wanted to join as well. And we went through the sets by specialty to go through to see what is needed and what is not. So essentially, it worked out really well. And we came through a collaborative effort deciding on what needs to be in those instrument sets. Because 8 different sites use these standardized instrument sets, we're not able to pare them down as much as they probably should be. But that's something that we can look at in the future when we apply more analytics to what's being used and what's not.
Well, speaking of analytics, I have to imagine that this has had a tremendous impact on your throughput. Can you give us an idea of what that impact looks like?
Outside of throughput, it's decreased the number of sets that the OR has to open. We combined a lot of sets. We also broke some of the sets apart. We deleted some of the sets. So essentially what we got out of it was the sets that we've done so far, we've got, I believe it's a little bit over 500,000 instruments that we reduced out of the sets. And looking at an old study from 2015, if we're just measuring that times 51 cents per each instrument for processing, and that's with only 3 touches, you know, we're saving $250,000. But in essence, we only put 3 touches to that instrument, not taking into the account the OR counting it, the OR moving it in and out of the sets, et cetera. So it could be extrapolated into a lot more money that we're saving currently.
Yeah, so that's a significant return on investment. And I know that that was something that was brought up in the HPN article, that when the move was made to a centralized process, it did require a significant influx of funds to facilitate that process. But there was an ROI that was projected, and obviously that ROI is delivering. So I want to know, though, I can't imagine that all of the surgeons were on board initially with this idea of standardizing their sets. I know that I've, in my time as manager, I tried to initiate a standardization process and it did not go well. So I want to know, how did you deal with that resistance from the surgeons?
So essentially, when the sets were first designed as standardized sets was back in the beginning. So I don't know if you say fortunately or unfortunately, I was not there at that time. And I do know from talking with folks that are still working in the field that it was a huge opportunity and collaboration, working back and forth. You know, things went back to the surgeons and back to the team that was coming up with these standardized sets. Today, when we went through all of these in the last couple of years, we again had the folks that were standing in the room working with these surgeons every day, making the decisions and taking those back to the surgeons and making sure that everything was going to be the way it needed to be. There were a couple things that came back, that surgeon preference saying that they needed this for whatever reason. But again, we honored what they wanted in the sets. And it's usually only one or two things. It's not a big deal in the adjustment of the sets.
Yeah, it really is all about relationships and managing and nurturing relationships and doing your best to maintain those. And especially, you're not always in the OR. So it's not just the relationship with the surgeon, but it's the perception of the entire operating room that can help foster positive communication, efficient workflow, getting all the details and information that you need. And you really handled it by having an effective process, is what it sounds like to me. But I almost want to go back to before that, or what became part of that entire process, which is you had to lay a foundation for a good working relationship with those operating rooms, and things are structured a little bit differently where you're at. So what are some maybe key tips or tricks that you could share with the listening audience about establishing a good working relationship that worked for you and your team?
Well, I think first it starts with rounding and establishing those relationships with folks and earning people's respect. As we all know, through the years in sterile processing, it's always been them and us. We've been trying to bring things together that we're all a team and that what one does affects the other. So essentially, some of the tips were, I guess, just you have to form those relationships. You have to get out there and you have to meet the people. Sometimes you can't meet everyone that you need to, but for the most part, if you're establishing those relationships, last year we took all of our staff and assigned them to a case, and each of us managers would go individually with one of our frontline technicians to go watch a surgery so that they could see exactly how the instruments are used, what the setup in the room was, and going through their sterile processing areas at the sites as well. Again, trying to build those relationships that were there for them.
And that's been a common theme that we've had on the show more than once, is the importance of doing those surgery observations. But I think something that's very unique about what you just said is that their supervisor or their manager goes with them to watch the surgery so that they can kind of talk them through rather than sort of just leaving them in the room and just telling them to watch. And I think that's an incredibly important piece because it allows the more experienced supervisor or manager to kind of describe to them, answer questions, and kind of just guide them through what all is going on. That's such an important key piece of understanding how what a technician does on a day-to-day basis really does have an impact on a person, because it's so easy to fall into that trap of you don't really think about it as a person. You just know dirty instruments come in, sterile instruments go out. What happens in between is just not my concern. And so I think that's incredibly important and a very important nuance that you guys added to that. Tell us now then about that very tedious and time-consuming, I'm sure, process of applying for that HPN Department of the Year award.
So tedious, you say. So over the last 8 years, every year I would look at what are the qualifications to apply for HPN Department of the Year. So initially, back in 2012, my director at that time, when I had first started out as a manager at System CSSD mHealth, asked me halfway through my first year, would you consider applying for HPN Department of the Year? And I just kind of looked at him and I said, well, yes, I would love to do that. And I chuckled because I was so new and learning a whole huge hospital system. And I didn't know when it would be in the cards for me to do that. So later that year, he passed away. And it has been one of my goals every year as I looked at those requirements. And you know how the whirlwind of work gets in the way and then the time passes. So I started the application probably in November and had picked it up and set it down. Again, the whirlwind gets in your way of the other work that you've got to get done. Then my mom passed away in January. And she had always said to me, just what exactly do you do? And I thought, for my former director and for my mom, I'm going to tell the world this is what we do. So went through the application process, which, mind you, is the shortest part of the process. And then after finding out that we were awarded, going through the process of getting the follow-up questions and doing a lot of writing so that, of course, the editor can pick. And I tried to form it too and tried to figure out what do the readers want to hear, because I believe many, if not all, sterile processing departments across the country are working on many of the same things. We're all trying to strive for better practices and standard work and looking at our analytics and decreasing our workflow wherever we can so that we can do more quality work on other topics. So going through the process was very enlightening, exciting, and it was just a wonderful way to share with everyone what the team has accomplished over the last few years.
Lori, thank you so much for sharing that very personal story with us. And I think it'll be an inspiration to others. And so I don't think we really planned on asking this question, but I think before we close, I almost have to. I really heard your passion come out there towards the end. How did you find your passion for sterile processing?
I started out with my career and reported to the OR, and I worked as a surgical technologist. In the afternoons, you know, we wouldn't have any cases to do. I worked in a small facility. So I go down to sterile processing and I would help them organize their Synthes implants or help them order the inventory or help them with different needs that they had. In the OR, I'd be ordering suture, different types of things, keeping track of the instruments and their locations and doing some of what, you know, the supply chain needs are as well that the OR did at that time. Through the years, there was an opportunity for a sterile processing supervisor position in the hospital I was working at. And I thought, oh, that sounds fabulous. Normal working hours. I won't be called in the middle of the night. I had the opportunity to be the supervisor for several years in the sterile processing department. What I didn't know back then, and what many OR folks don't know today, is what goes on in a sterile processing department. So I'm really passionate about bringing the groups together and helping them understand, and in particular, the surgeons. The surgeons do not know what we do in our department. And I think it's really, really important that we keep reaching out and communicating with each other. And we do a lot of tours of our department. Not only do we like to show off all the new equipment that we've been able to get in the last few years, but we like to share with people, this is what we do. And every time we have a tour with those folks, anyone that's coming in, whether it be from visitors from another country or a surgeon that's coming through, or OR teams that are coming through, supply chain teams, they're always, always excited to learn what we do. And each one of the frontline team members just glow with pride. And it's just heartwarming. And I think it's so important that we keep teaching everyone and bringing them into our department and that we go out to their departments. And also, specifically during this next year, I want to work on a career ladder in a contract environment, but I still feel that it's going to be possible to make some type of career ladder for our technicians in our department.
So many themes there that are really in sync with what we try to promote and what we try to work on through research, even here at Beyond Clean. Career ladder. I love tours, getting people into the department, seeing what you do. And I have to commend you. You're only one of a handful of individuals and or departments that I know of really tries to get the surgeons, because it's one thing to do some cross rotations in the OR with the surgical techs and the new, you know, scrub nurses and OR nurses, but it's just so important to get the surgeons to come visit the department and see what happens. So really proud of you as well, not only for the award, but for the work that you do. And I've always said there's just not enough passionate people in sterile processing. We have to encourage everybody to just continue to have their voice. I'm glad that you came on to share yours with us to kick off season 9. You're a fantastic guest. You've got a great story to tell, and I hope you keep telling it. I know you do presentations as well, and so keep doing them. And if we could do anything to continue to encourage you and your team's success or help in any way, you just let us know.
Thank you very much, Justin and Mike, and Beyond Clean. This was awesome. Thank you very much.
That was Lori Ferrer, Director of Systems Central Sterile Services Department at M Health Fairview, with some very inspirational words helping us kick off season 9, Mike. And it's funny, the whole process of applying for Department of the Year, you had described it as tedious, and I'm sure it's a great deal of paperwork and there's a lot that goes into it. But her story about being encouraged to do so and then finally being motivated to do so was really quite moving, honestly.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I love about being able to do this podcast is we really get to put the human behind the story, right? So it's one thing to read about what it takes to be the Department of the Year, but it's something entirely different to really sit down and talk to the personalities that are driving that change. And that is what's so unique about the podcast, is you get to meet those people in a more personal way. Like, we never would have learned that story had it not been for this interview.
Well, a lot of great people reside in Minnesota. We know many that are involved with Beyond Clean, but including our own Lindsay Brown, who knows Lori quite well from over the years. And so great to see Lori and her team get that recognition. That's going to do it for this week's show. As a reminder, you can help support us by subscribing to Beyond Clean on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify. We'd certainly appreciate a rating and a review because your feedback is important to the show. And if you have any topics that you'd like us to cover on a future episode, just send an email to info@beyondclean.net. On behalf of Mike and myself, thank you for listening to this week's episode of Beyond Clean.